We've all heard the phrase, life imitates art. And according to Chris Reed, this truism is still relevant today. Reed is the deputy editorial and opinion editor at the San Diego Union-Tribune. And in a recent op-ed, he argues that our art today, i.e. pop culture, has shaped entire professions, not just impressionable individuals. And not always for the better. The most obvious example, he says, is police officers. So we started by talking about Dragnet.
In the early 1950s, the television networks were gearing up to try to provide content for the then new invention of TV being in everyone's living room. And producers went to Los Angeles Police Department and said, you know, we'd love to cooperate and work with the LAPD on a show called Dragnet to star a very straight-laced detective named Joe Friday. And the police, very savvy and very thoughtful and interesting and kind of has overtones of LA Confidential, they knew exactly what they're doing. They realized that they would have an attempt to define how police are perceived by America. And so they agreed to provide Dragnet with everything it wanted, allowing them to film at LAPD, to go along on drive-bys, and to shoot externals, so long as they had script approval. And at the time, it didn't seem like an outrageous demand to the production companies, and so they went along with it. And so we had the spectacle of this show shaping how police are perceived around the world, because it was syndicated to dozens of countries, that was directly shaped by police, the guys at LAPD.
Wow. So what kind of effect do you think that had? Like, you said that this created this sort of archetype for police. Did it get undermined at some point?
Well, it created an archetype for police as the noble kind of public servant and the well-meaning guy who would always try to help you out that existed quite strongly for decades after the show's debut.
I don't understand.
Maybe we do, son. Don't think you have a corner on all of virtue vision in the country, or that everybody else is fat and selfish and you're the first generation to come along that's felt dissatisfied. They all have, you know.
But then in 1971, two dramatic, at least in retrospect, pop culture events happened. The first was Joseph Wambaugh, an LAPD detective, wrote a novel called The New Centurions that described life on LAPD as being radically different from Dragnet. It kind of set the whole template for what became cop shows about cops with difficult personal lives and about cops who face moral conundrums on the job, about cops who have substance abuse issues or even domestic violence issues. So that came out, and that introduced the idea of cops as struggling human beings with difficult jobs. The same year, however, a movie called Dirty Harry came out, starring Clint Eastwood in perhaps still his most famous role as a cop who didn't play by the rules, Dirty Harry, and as a cop who saw the enemy not just as criminals, but as the lawyers and the bureaucrats and the police chiefs who made him play by rules that, in Dirty Harry's view, helped criminals.
These people off you can, but don't do it with me.
That's it, Callahan. You just got yourself a 60-day suspension.
Make it 90.
180, give me your star.
So this kind of set a whole different archetype for cops, not as a troubled individual with a difficult job, but as a dispenser of justice in a hypocritical world.
Yeah. I mean, so the archetype of police as these, you know, flawed heroes sort of is still around today. Like, you still see that in lots of police dramas now. Do you think that the Dirty Harry thing is still an image of a police officer that haunts the police today?
Well, Joseph Wambaugh, the guy who created the archetype for the flawed cops, I've interviewed him before, and he basically says, everybody owes me billions of dollars because they've been copying my work ever since. And it's amazing but true. I mean, the whole thing about the cops who say, oh, I picked the wrong day, all right, I'm too old for this bleep. All these archetypes all came from Wambaugh's early novels. The Dirty Harry one is interesting because it is, in fact, part of our culture. And I do think it's prevalent today in a way that I don't know if people could have imagined back in the early 70s when it came out. If you go on a police union's Facebook page, if you go on a police message board, there used to be one on AOL, it's suffused with this idea that they're put upon by regulatory niceties and that they're not appreciated. It's evident right now in California, where the legislature is debating an attempt to change the rule, the standard for use of force. And essentially, we had police saying, what do you mean there should be changed rules? We should be allowed to do what we want and not be judged afterwards. That's only a slight caricature of the stand they're taking. So the idea of police as being this moralistic force for good who shouldn't be judged is thoroughly ingrained in our society. Does that mean that all cops are this way? No, not at all. But many, many cops have a default grievance when their actions are judged by anybody for anything.
You also talk about Full Metal Jacket and the sort of the funny maybe side of this a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that example.
when I began to look into the idea that art imitates life, or life imitates art, the whole argument, one of the first things that that jumped to mind was the Full Metal Jacket phenomenon. In Full Metal Jacket, Stanley Kubrick, the director, hired a former drill instructor named R. Lee Ermey to act as a technical advisor. Kubrick soon realized that he was so much more charismatic than the actor that they had playing the drill instructor that he should just play the drill instructor. And Army went on to improvise his role with this fantastically funny, if really cruel and mean-spirited and strange drill instructor who harangues his troops for the whole way through. I mean, there's a very little element of humanity in it.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Shit, I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a...
So anyway, I came upon a story by a Hollywood film writer who had been a Marine, and he talked about how he went to boot camp the year after Full Metal Jacket came out, and how the stereotype that R. Lee Ermey had created was everywhere. Everybody was screaming the same insults. Everybody was acting in the domineering way. The old idea of the drill instructor as kind of a compassionate guy who cared about his men was left behind. Instead, it was all macho posturing and screaming. And so I thought that was pretty remarkable. It shows that, especially with authority figures, they tend to like to copy what they see in art, in film and in movies, and adopt it as their own persona.
So this is fascinating. I mean, like, usually when you talk about life imitating art or the other way around, like, it's a little more, it's a little less obvious than this, I guess. Like, these are such extreme examples, but they are pervasive, like you say. So my question then to end with is, what do you think is happening in pop culture or in law enforcement or military today that is one of these examples we might look back on in 10 years and say, this is when this was happening?
Well, I think the Jack Bauer effect is another thing that's going to be interesting. We have a whole generation of youthful soldiers who were brought up on the TV show 24, which shows torture to be effective when most people think it isn't, and torture to be appropriate when most people think it isn't, and torture to be insanely efficient. Jack Bauer always got the confession. He always saved the day. He always prevented the nuke from going off. And you had in 2007, the Commandant of West Point actually flying to Hollywood to rebuke the writers for 24, saying that they're warping a generation of young officers. So I think the fallout from pop culture is continuing, and it probably won't go anywhere, because the fact is there's a whole bunch of young and impressionable people who are coming up, and they're looking for ways to orient themselves and to present themselves professionally. And it's natural to go the pop culture route, even if it's not necessarily healthy.
All right. Chris Reed is Deputy Editorial and Opinion Editor with the San Diego Union-Tribune. Chris, thank you so much for the time today.
My pleasure.